Welcome to our second sermon in our sermon series entitled Christmas Misfits. Today's sermon title, The Misfit Heart. Open your Bible to John 13, verses 34 through 35, and let's begin.
Lord, we acknowledge and worship you as the Lord Emmanuel. God, we believe that you are with us. Help us to see the glory of God in the face of Christ, so that we can focus more on loving than we focus on being loved. Help us to feel the wonder of your presence so that we love in an unselfish way and in a way that nurtures souls. Thank you for Christmas. Amen. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as crazy ones, we see geniuses. Because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. I like it. How about you? See, we celebrate Christmas every year because a misfit came into the world and said, I can change the world. A misfit came into the world and said, I can make things better. I can change things. His agenda to change things was different than any agenda that had ever been set. When most people come into the world to change things, their agenda is to manipulate other people to do what needs to be done. Right? Think of the great leaders of history. This leader said, I'm not manipulating anybody. I don't have to. Other great leaders, they use the power of the threat. If you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. Christ didn't threaten anyone. He didn't have to. You see, Christ is very, very different than everybody else who came into the world. He came into the world and he said, I'm going to make things better by simply loving people until they want to do the right thing. Church, I don't know about you, but I figured out a long time ago, you can't threaten me into doing very much. The harder you threaten me, the less I want to do it. And many of you are like that. I know you people. You can't guilt trip me into hardly doing anything. It just doesn't work on me anymore. Oh, I'm so disappointed in you. Well, get in line. I'm very human. It's hard to threaten me. It's hard to guilt trip me. But I tell you what, the biggest changes I've made in my life, I made because love compelled me. I couldn't help myself. Love compelled me. See, Christ came into the world with this radical idea, I'm going to love people until they feel compelled. And when I love people until they feel compelled, everything else will take care of itself. Our text this week doesn't come from the cradle scenes. It comes from the other end of Christ's life. John chapter 13 is the very last week of Christ's life. In fact, it's the Passover supper. And he eats supper with his best friends, people that he loved as well as a person could be loved. But one of them couldn't appreciate love. He had a spot in his heart that love didn't touch. It was greed. Christ didn't fit in his heart, but 30 pieces of silver did. Christ was a misfit for Judas because the shape of his heart was in the shape of 30 pieces of silver. And after the supper, when Judas went out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." Do you know, it's the glory of Christ that makes him a misfit in the world. It's his glory that leaves him on the edge of many things. Because we are a culture that struggles with the very concept of glory. How do we define glory? Christmas is supposed to be glorious because Christ is glorious. The angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest," right? Well, what exactly do we mean by glory? We mean worthy of praise, honor, and distinction. Christ doesn't quite fit in because he's so worthy to be praised. He doesn't quite fit in because he's so honorable. He doesn't quite fit in because he is distinguished. And all of that seems to put a little pressure on us. Glory means marked by beauty and splendor. You who are a little more beautiful than normal, you know what it means not to fit in. You felt the discomfort of being just a little too beautiful. Now, some of us are on the other end of that scale, and we felt a little uncomfortable because, well, you get it. There was something so beautiful about Christ that people wanted to be around him. There was something so splendid about him that people found themselves staring at him. And he didn't quite fit in. Glory also means wonderful and magnificent. If you read the Gospels, it says again and again that the people around Christ were filled with wonder, or they were amazed. Gospel readers, again and again, it says that people who were around Christ found themselves filled with wonder. They were amazed. There was something that was stunningly wonderful about him. He was majestic. You see, when you have a character like this, you find it just a little uncomfortable to fit in. And people can often feel a little uncomfortable around you. But listen to what Christ said. This whole thing was Christ showing humanity the glory of an invisible God. I'm not like Ricky Bobby. The baby Jesus isn't my favorite Jesus. I guess nobody ever saw that show. Anybody ever see that show? Sorry, my sophisticated TV watching is... There's something too wonderful about Christ to cram into a baby. There's something too awesome about Christ to fit my image of children. I had five of them. They're messy little creatures. They have to be cleaned up. They have bad eating habits. Church? But somehow or another, God said we couldn't understand the majesty of his glory unless part of it was everything that was connected to a child. The glory of God is seen in the face of Christ. This Christ that we worship and this Christ that we honor on Christmas, he was praised by God. God Almighty spoke from the clouds and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am so well pleased." The angels praised him and worshiped his holy name. People like you and I broke out into spontaneous worship because of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's honored. Every year we celebrate his birthday. Even people who don't even like Jesus celebrate his birthday. People are totally interested in Christianity, not disinterested. Atheists celebrate Christmas. Go figure. There's something so wonderful about Christ that the human race for 2,000 years has said, every year we're going to have a holiday, and on that holiday we're going to go out of our way to give gifts and be nice to other people because there's something so wonderful about Christ. He distinguished himself from all other people by the quality of his life, by the genius of his teaching, and by the majesty of his death. His splendor in heaven silences people. And he's caused people just like us for 2,000 years to be filled with wonder. He is magnificent in his character, his actions, and his relationships. Christmas is a little reminder every year that God is much more awesome than we stay in touch with. The glory of God is much more compelling than we stay in touch with. The glory of Christ makes him a misfit in our world. But I want to know, how does he fit in your soul? Is Christ a fit or a misfit in your soul. This majesty of Christ that I'm talking about, this glory of who he is, does that resonate with anything in your soul? Or is that just a little bit of a misfit for you? You're just really fine with, I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus. You're really just fine with, isn't it nice your neighbors put so many lights out in their yard? I'm glad my neighbors do. It takes the pressure off of me. Is Christ fit or a misfit for you? You're the only one who can answer that question. Is your heart in some way shaped for who he is? Or have you let life misshapen your heart to the point that he no longer fits in what is dearest, richest, most meaningful to you? It's not important whether Christ fits at the mall. It's not important how many people say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Those things are not important. The thing that is important, it's superior in importance, is that something in your heart is shaped by Christ and his glory resonates with you. You are a little in awe yourself. You find him wonderful. Something is compelling about who Christ is to you. Is Christ a fit or a misfit in your heart? Jesus said, little children, yet a little while and I am with you, and you will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. You know what Christ said here? His presence is elusive. Sometimes it's really, really easy for me to sense the presence of God. And sometimes it isn't. Church, can we be honest? Or do we have to all be pious today? Sometimes it's real easy, like I can't get away from his presence. And other times, he feels elusive to me. I feel like I'm reaching out, but I'm having a hard time touching him. Can you identify with that? That's what he's saying in here. There was a time that he lived among us and walked among us, but that time has come and gone. And now he has returned to his place of reigning and glory. His presence is elusive. But listen to this. His command isn't. Christ says to you, if there's any place in your heart where he fits, he's got a command for you. And this is his command. Love the people around you. Do you want to know if there is a Christ-shaped place in your soul? Do you want to know if Christ really fits with your agenda of life? When he says to you, this is the one thing I want from you, one thing, I want you to love the people around you. How does that resonate with you? When I say it, I can see on some faces a cringe. Oh, brother, you don't know who you're asking me to love. Christ said, I'm going to change the world. I'm not going to do with armies. I'm not going to do with politics. I'm not going to do with this big economic agenda. I'm going to change in the world in one way. I'm going to reshape people's hearts into a shape that I fit in. And then because I fit in their heart, I'm going to ask them to love the people around them the very same way I love them. That's his agenda, church. If there's something not right in your world, Christ has a way to correct it. And here it is. Let him reshape your heart, and then you love the people around you into changing. You can't nag them into it. Give it up. We're deaf to you already. You can't badger them into it. You can't guilt trip them into it. You can't threaten them into it. But I tell you what, when your heart is shaped like Christ, it is crazy what you can love people into doing and being. Church. What does this kind of love look like? We have to love others the way Christ loved us. Christ loved us and took the initiative. We have to practice initiating love. So what I'm saying right here. Why are you so passive? Why are you always waiting for the other person to do the right thing? I hear this all the time when I talk to people. When they start doing this, I'll do this. Church? I hear this all the time. That's not the way Christ loved me. Christ said this little knucklehead can't do what I want him to do. I got to love him until he is able to do it. Do you see? Christ initiated in my heart. He loved me until I wanted to do what he wants to do. That's the kind of love that he asked us to have. Not a passive love that sits around and waits and says, when you do what you're supposed to do, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. That's not love at all. That's business. You're buying and selling your soul. When Christ loves, he loves with an initiating love. And he says, I don't care where you are or what your attitude is. I don't care whether you even like me. I'm going to love you into being different. Church, that's initiating love. As Christ loved us through service, we love by serving. Don't tell me you love someone if you won't serve them. You've deceived yourself. They don't deserve it. Well, I didn't deserve Christ serving me either, did you? Christ loved by forgiving. We love by forgiving. Wouldn't this Christmas be a good time to let it go? I mean, how long are you really going to hold on to that thing that happened 55 years ago? Isn't it time to forgive? And if you can't forgive, stop deceiving yourself that you have a Christ-shaped place in your heart and that he fits in your life. Christ has forgiven us for things that we don't even know we did wrong. Church? Christ loved us by sharing his best self. We love by sharing our best self. Are you bringing your best self to the game? Or have you figured out that's not safe to do? I'm not bringing my best self to the game. I'm protecting my best self. Church, Christ brought his best self to the game. The people who insulted him and crucified him, he brought his best self to the game. And listen to what he said. Father, forgive them. They're just too stupid to know what they're doing. Church, is that bringing your best self to the game? So far as I can tell, none of you have been crucified. If you get yourself crucified, I'll sympathize with you about not bringing your best self. But short of that, I mean, come on. Church. Christ loved us graciously. We love others graciously. That means better than what we deserve. Christ loved me in a way that was better than what I deserve. And he asked me if I have a God-shaped place in my heart to love others better than they deserve. Christ loved misfits. Christ loves misfits. If Christ doesn't love misfits, I would never be standing behind this sacred desk. Church, if Christ didn't love misfits, this place would not look the way it looks. This church is full of us. The swells, the dandies, the wonderfully gifted, talented, genius, everybody loves people, they're somewhere else. We're just middle-class people who have a place that's shaped for Christ in our heart. And because he loved us, we feel like we belong. Church, Christ loved me into feeling like I belong. And he says to us at every Christmas, this is what I want from you. I want you to love people with an initiating love. I want you to love people with a serving love. I want you to love people with a forgiving love. I want you to bring your best self. I want you to love with a gracious love. And I want you to love misfits into feeling like they belong. Church, because Christ is gracious, he desires to make life glorious. See, Christ isn't just glorious and says, look at me. Don't you wish you were me? He says, I'm glorious, and I want to make your life glorious too. Something wonderful about your life. Something splendid. Something attractive. Something beautiful. Do you see? When you have a God-shaped heart, the glory of Christ starts changing us. And the Apostle Paul actually says, we are changed from glory to glory. That means we get a little more glorious all the time. I'm in on that. I'd like that. I'll sign up for that class. Church, when we define glory as things and not character, we drain the glory out of life. Love, not things, glorifies life. Do you get that? I don't care what you have. I don't care where your house is. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how much you have to spend for Christmas this year. I don't care about any of that. Things don't make life glorious. They make life tedious. That's just one more thing to take care of. Good for you. Good for you. Life is not made glorious by things. Life is made glorious by love. You love glory into your home. You want your home to be a wonderful place? Fill it with love. Church, when we define glory as achievement and not as love, we displace glory with ignominy. Love more than accomplishments glorifies human existence. You want to know something about accomplishments? They get old, and somebody always is better. Are you a sports fan? Records get broken every year. It's not achievements that make life glorious. It's not achievements. It's love that makes life glorious. So listen, Christ said, I want one thing from you. I want you to take that God-shaped place in your heart. And from that God-shaped place, I want you to start loving the people around you. It'll make your life glorious. It'll make your home glorious. It'll make things around you glorious. There is a glory in profound love that is unmatched in the world. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of the rules. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. But the only thing you can't do is ignore them because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see geniuses because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. Christianity recognizes that Christ came into the world to create a beautiful world. This isn't what he had in mind. We've messed things up. He came into the world to create a beautiful world, and he's got one method for doing it. That method is for you and for me to love the glory of God back into our lives, back into our homes, back into our friendships, back into our work. And the people who believe they can do it, they're the ones that for 2,000 years have kept Christianity pushing the world forward. And the ones who don't believe they can do it, I got a cure for you. If you think it's naive to love the world into being a better place, I got a cure for you. You got to reshape your heart so that Christ fits there. Church. You got to reshape your heart. Cynicism has made you believe that's not possible. A Christ-shaped heart will make all the difference. Hurt has made you believe it's not possible. I once loved and they took advantage of me. You need a heart that's reshaped like Christ. Doubt, fear, insecurity, whatever has misshaped your heart, I'm asking you this Christmas to make Christ a fit in your heart so that you can obey his one command to love the people around you in the way that there is a real Christian glory about who you are, about your home, about your friendships, about the beautiful world that you're creating around you. Church, our dear Heavenly Father, help us to believe one more time that love changes everything. Help us to feel a new inclination to open our souls to Christ so that he reshapes our soul and what is best about who he is fits in us perfectly. And then, Father, we change our mind and we do come to believe that you can change the world through us. Grant us this through Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.